إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, there is another aspect of what we have been talking about, which is what makes you sin. And I mentioned two things. One is your nafs, and the other one is your peer group, friends. We commit sins for these two reasons. One is to satisfy our own desires, and the other one is to be acceptable and be accepted by the friend circle that we live in. There's another aspect to it, which is in terms of satisfying the nafs. One of the desires which is absolutely disastrous and which is fatal, which we try to satisfy, which of course never gets satisfied, and it takes us with us, takes us with it, is greed. Is hirs, is greed. Entire economies get destroyed because of greed. If you see what happened in the recent economic collapse, and I'm not talking about any religious opinion on it, this was the opinion of economists, and they said what caused the subprime crisis, what caused the economic collapse in the West, and of course it affected the whole world, was simply greed. People just wanting more and more and more. And if you stop them for a minute and say, why do you want more? What will you do with that more? They have no idea. They have no idea. But they continue. Just want more. I was seeing, somebody sent me a video of the inside of the aircraft of the King of Saudi Arabia. So it's a 747. And but if you look at the inside of the aircraft, it's really more of the same. I mean, it's the same. It looks the lounge looks just like any lounge in any palace that you would see, or any large villa that you would see, sofas and so on, and footstools and tissue boxes on them, and very typical Arab lounges. It's all more of the same. You see somebody sent me the picture of the presidential suite in Burj Al Arab, which is perhaps the most expensive hotel suite in the world. Allah knows best. And he said it's something like $15,000 a night or some such thing. Without exaggeration, it looks like a bordello. I've never seen the inside of a bordello myself, but I've seen pictures of them. All pink and lace curtains, and a big pink bed in the middle of the room, which is on a turntable, so it revolves. So while you are lying in your bed, you can, by remote control, up the blinds, and you can revolve your bed, and you can get a 360 view. And now my point is, it's the same thing. What is so great about it? What is so different about it? That why would one pay $15,000 for it unless you are completely insane? Greed, that's all. I mean, just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create this world for us to satisfy our needs. So if we have whatever we have beyond a point, you can only have a bigger house, you can only have a bigger car, you can have 10 cars, you can have 500 cars. But it's still the same thing. It's still a car. I mean, it won't fly. Right? If it's a plane, it's still a plane. You still need to go to the airport to take off. It won't take off from the top of your house. I mean, then you need a helicopter, right? You can't land an A380 on top of your house. So the point is, there are always limitations, no matter what. The place for limitless satisfaction of desire is Jannah, not here. But this greed. And this is the reason why, also because of this greed, I know so many wealthy people. And wealthy, I'm saying seriously wealthy. I'm not talking about, you know, having a few lakhs in the bank and a couple of cars. I'm talking about seriously wealthy people. Next thing you know, what do you find this person doing? You find him going to a bank and taking a loan to grow his business or to start some other business. Now, he's a Muslim guy who knows that taking a loan from a bank is haram. He knows that when he's signing that agreement of taking the loan on interest, he is signing a declaration of war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Nabi. He knows this. This is today, in today's world, you don't need a mufti to tell you that. Everyone knows it. Yet he does it. And why does he do it? Because he has the money. The bank would not give that same money to you and me. When we don't have the business and we have the kind of assets we have, you go to the bank and you ask the bank to give you, you know, $100 million. He'll laugh at you in your face. He'll give you a piece of paper and say, please write 100 million. Let me see if you know the number of zeros. Right? But for somebody like that who has that kind of money, when he goes to the bank will talk to him seriously. The bank will give him the money and attach his assets. And the man knows he's doing haram. He doesn't even need it because the money that he has, he can eat and seven generations after him can eat. But the greed, I must have more. I must have more. I must grow my business. I must do this. I must do that. Nobody is against growing your business. It's the issue of growing it how? Growing it by angering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, does it make absolutely any sense whatsoever? How can you do anything good? How can you grow anything if you are doing it by angering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalla? But it's because you have the money. Similarly, you find people who have the money and the greed in terms of satisfying personal desires, doing all kinds of haram things. And the only reason you can do the haram is because you have the money. Somebody else who doesn't have the money, if you didn't have the money, maybe you would have still strayed on the straight and narrow. But because you have the money, you do that. So greed is also satisfying of nafs, or the other reason is to impress other people. So the same peer group issue. Now there's another angle to this, which we should try to do it for ourselves. Number one, the other angle is to satisfy your nafs, but to satisfy the nafs in a positive manner, meaning that wanting to do more and more good. So if you have wealth, take pleasure from giving it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That also is possible, and that is where the real pleasure comes. The real pleasure comes in helping somebody in need. The real pleasure comes in giving away. It doesn't come in taking. And this is a fairly simple rule, but and you know, you can learn it at any age. You don't have to be wealthy to learn that. Allah knows best. I think I learned this when I was maybe about 8 years old or 9 or 10 years old. Listening to one of the lectures of Sheikh of my father's. And that was a long way before I started earning any money myself, you know. But alhamdulillah, that penny dropped very early in my life. The issue of risk. And it got me sorted out, alhamdulillah. And may Allah keep me on that path till the day I die, that I don't fall into the issue of greed and trying to impress anybody. So competing for good. That is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, envy is negative. Envy is not permissible, except in two cases. And he says, one is envy is permissible where you envy somebody who has knowledge of Islam, he has knowledge of the Quran, he has knowledge of Islam, and he is using that knowledge for positive things, meaning that he is, you know, teaching people and so on and so on, not earning money from it, but he's teaching people and he's trying to do the work of Dawah. You envy that person, you envy the person his knowledge of Islam that he has and the fact that he practices, and you say, I wish I had that, and you try to get that. That kind of envy is jais. And the second kind of envy which is permissible is somebody who has wealth and he is spending it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you envy that and you wish that I had that wealth and I would do the same. And when you have the wealth, you do the same. This envy is permissible in these two cases. One, if you look at it, is personally oriented, and the second one is oriented towards your peer group and your friends group. So that's the reason why also, as I said yesterday, it's a very good idea and very important to have the right kind of friends, because then you will have this kind of competition to do good. One of the famous people who used to compete always in goodness was Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhum. They used to compete always, trying to, and of course Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu always competed. You know, he never managed to beat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu in terms of good, but he tried. He always tried and he always wanted to do something which more than or better than what Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu used to do. And this was the nature of the Sahaba. they used to compete with each other in doing good, in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more zuhad, more khidmat and more sakhawat and more charity and so on and so forth. They used to compete with each other. So this is something that I remind myself and you, that these two things, the desire to satisfy yourself in terms of your desires, nafs, and the desire to satisfy and be part of a peer group and to impress your friends, is generally negative, but it need not always be negative. It can also be positive, and we should focus to that. How can I make this positive? Doing it in a way where we please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, today if you look at it, by and large, I'm not saying this is not a general rule, there are people who are exceptions to that rule, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us exceptions. But a general rule is that the money that Muslims have, has become their biggest curse. Biggest problem has become their money. Even if you look at it, for example, take obesity. Obesity is in all the rich Muslim lands. Child obesity. Why? Because they're constantly drinking toilet cleaners the whole day. And they're constantly eating food. Wastage, major problem. All the wealthy countries. Seeking of knowledge, almost zero. All kinds of, if you look at all the kinds of societal evils that exist in our countries, the Muslim countries, 9 out of 10, if not more, are in the countries which have money. So wealth has become a means of difficulty for them. Wealth has become a curse instead of being something good. How many wealthy or any Muslim country, how many Muslim countries do you know who are known for scientific research, for example? Not even one. How many Muslim countries do you know which are known for research say for example, space exploration, which is happening. The ISS, I keep on mentioning this over and over again, the International Space Station has 15 countries collaborating for space research. Not one single Muslim country in it. And you've got small little countries, which are, the country is smaller than Hyderabad. But they are participating in that. Somebody's got the sense to say, we must put some money into something like this, it's beneficial for us. But our Muslim countries who can buy that country, six times a day without feeling the pinch, but they do not do that. And if you make a list of the amount of wasteful expenditure, absolutely nonsensical expenditure on all sorts of baubles and trinkets, take the top 10 will be Muslim countries or Muslim names. Now, why? Because wealth has become a curse. The wealth is not a blessing, the wealth has become a curse. And that's why I remind myself and you, let us not fall into this trap. If Allah has given wealth, earn halal, spend halal. Do not fall into the trap of greed, of borrowing from banks, of doing, illegal activities, and falling into the purview of the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If anyone thinks that he or she can succeed in this world angering Allah, then that person needs a brain transplant. He is completely crazy. He is mad. He is not thinking like a Muslim at all. How is it possible to succeed when you anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's impossible. You cannot succeed. And the same thing applies if you die in that state. You borrow money from the bank and you die in that state. Then you are dying as an enemy of Allah. Because you declared enmity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You accepted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's declaration of war when you signed that document with the bank. And if you die in that state while the loan is still going, then you are dying as an enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has accepted a declaration of war from Allah. May Allah save us from that. What state will you go into your qabr in? Seriously, either you don't believe this. I'm saying, let us get straight. This living in nifaq makes no sense. Either you don't believe this. You are not a Muslim. You don't believe this. Not that not believing changes facts. Not believing does not change facts. Facts remain facts. But you say, well, I'm not a Muslim. I don't care. Who is Allah? I don't care. What akhirah? I don't care. What qabr? I don't care. I will live my life the way I want to live my life. At least it is honest. He will still go into the hellfire, but at least he is honest. But we are dishonest. We have become munafiqeen. Because on the face of it, you have Allah, you have Rasul, you have this, you have that, you have Quran and whatnot, and you have turned our lives into a ritual. And you will go and pray and you will give a donation to the masjid and you will give a donation to the madrasa. And then you deliberately anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that something is haram. You deliberately do it, knowing that it's a declaration of war. You deliberately take a loan from a bank. So what are you saying? So seriously, remind myself and you, let us get real. Let us sit down and decide for ourselves. And tomorrow we'll talk about that, how to keep away from all this. Let us decide for ourselves. And then, let us live our lives from that moment onwards according to that decision. Do you believe in Allah? Do you believe you are going to die? Do you believe that you will stand before Allah? Yes or no? Answer these three questions. And according to that, live your life. The reality remains real. It does not change. But what it will do to us will change. The difference is between Jannah and Jahannam. It's as simple as that. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to see this, to see some sense and to do that which is pleasing to Him and never to do something which is displeasing to Him. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ اللَّهِ